Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport /fly healthy.
And things are starting to get a little messed up leading up to it. So the royal family, according to Meghan Markle, has an active role in perpetuating falsehoods about her and Prince Harry. Yesterday, Buckingham Palace announced it's launching an investigation into allegations that Meghan bullied her royal aides and created a toxic and manipulative atmosphere when she and Harry were still part of the family. Rep for Meghan and Harry said the allegations are a calculated smear campaign orchestrated by the palace ahead of the interview special, which airs Sunday night on CBS.
In other words, case in point.
See what they're doing? I told you.
Yeah. See how horrible they are?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
That is interesting.
And, you know, what I feel bad about is I just know this has to be affecting Harry and William's relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's too bad.
That's the really sad part in all of this.
Right.
I mean, look at it. It's just weird to me that they keep saying, like, they don't want to talk to, you know, they're like, leave us alone. We want to do our own thing. And now they're just talking to Oprah all the time, you know, doing this big special.
I wonder if they're hoping it's like one big conversation and then they're done.
Yeah, let's set the record straight and then that's it. You're not going to hear from us.
Yeah.
But accusing these bullying things, like the things I feel like they're going to reveal in the interview are going to cause even more attention to the situation.
Well, here's what I think happened. I think they had an idea. They had a heads up that this was coming. And so they tried to get ahead of it by talking to Oprah and saying that, you know, they actively engage in smear campaigns against us so that when this came out, people would be like, this may be an example of that.
Who's getting ahead of who here? Or is the smear campaign, is that the palace saying what they're saying, trying to get ahead of the Oprah interview? We just don't know who's going first.
I think they're going to bow out after this, or it's going to turn into Kardashians round two, and they're going to strategize to stay relevant and breed.
I think that, because they have all these deals with people. Like, they have their Netflix deal, and then they have this other deal, and they're not making any money from the royals soon.
So they got to make some
deals. They
got to
make money somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, they got like a, you know, $50 million mansion in Montecito. Who's paying for that?
Deals, baby, deals. We got to take a break here. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. You know, there was some controversy over Super Bowl 55 hosting 25,000 fans during the pandemic. Even though 7,500 of them were vaccinated healthcare workers, how did the NFL do? Were they able to keep things under control? And what was the result of all those people in one place? We're going to take a closer look at that.
Some business news. That's how the arts and crafts retailer Michaels was just bought for $3.3 billion. Yep, they spent $3.3 billion on the company in 1995 to get the contract framed. If this is the first time you're hearing of this, it's because the news is only reported in the business section of Ants Digest.
In just 3 weeks, people who have certain high-risk medical conditions are eligible to get the vaccine. Current and former smokers are included in that group. Anyone who has smoked at least 100 cigarettes in the past.
that's like, what, everyone? That's five packs of cigarettes, 100 cigarettes. My Aunt Chippy smokes that in a day.
President Biden said that his goal is that every teacher can receive the first dose of the coronavirus vaccine by the end of March. Said teachers may receive.
.643, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. There was some controversy over Super Bowl 55 hosting 25,000 fans during a pandemic. Even though 7,500 of them were vaccinated healthcare workers. But it looks like the NFL was able to keep things under control. Local health officials have determined that the official Super Bowl events only reason. We're talking the official Super Bowl events. We're not talking about whatever parties, you know, spilled out in the streets of Tampa Bay. But as far as the official Super Bowl events were concerned, they only resulted in 57 total COVID-19 cases that they were able to track. Despite the thousands of fans who traveled to Tampa to attend the game or other events, there were 53 confirmed cases in the state of Florida linked to the Super Bowl, while 4 out-of-state cases were tracked to the big game. So that definitely would not make it a super spreader event, even though on February 7th, the day of the game, the U.S. was still averaging around 100,000 new cases every day and more than 3,000 deaths daily during that time. Now we are down to around 60,000 new cases and under 2,000 deaths per day, still 2,000 too many. And all that being said, the area did see an increase in the positivity rates. In the weeks afterward, but they attributed that to the unofficial gatherings. You know, the family get-togethers, the parties, the bars, the restaurants, things of that nature. But as far as what they could actually track to official Super Bowl events, only 53 confirmed cases.
That's pretty good.
The NFL handled that about as good as can be expected, I think.
Yeah, and I'm Googling now to see if there's any craziness in Tampa afterwards, and it doesn't look like Tampa itself had a huge spike either after that, because we did see tons of people in the streets. And
oh yeah, when they had that big water parade too, remember, everybody was kind of like on top of each other.
Yeah,
they did see an increase in the positivity rate, but again, they're kind of saying it had more to do with the unofficial gatherings than the official NFL gatherings.
So we've been waiting forever for this Friends reunion to happen, right? They're
pulling the plug.
That got delayed over and over again. No, it's happening. David Schwimmer says it's happening in a little over a month. He said he's heading out to L.A. He said, so finally we figured out a way to film it safely, and there's going to be a portion of it that we filmed outside because, you know, safety protocols. Special's going to air on HBO Max. Isn't an air date yet, but assuming it's still just a one-off special, it could air soon after being taped.
Well, that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Everybody's there, too. Isn't everyone in?
I believe so,
yeah. All the friends are going to be back together.
Everybody.
Who has HBO Max in the room?
I do.
Oh, we'll need the login.
Sure. Jeff, I got to tell you, Jeff, since I bought your old TV,
oh, yeah,
the HBO Max app was on there, and I accidentally clicked on it when I thought I was clicking on something else, and it loaded up Michael's profile.
Oh, sweet.
And I was like, I can't do this. And I logged myself out.
Oh.
I was like, why?
I don't know why.
I just felt wrong about it.
No.
Well, you could have texted me.
That's all right. It's all good.
You could have been like, hey, buddy, thanks for letting me watch Unlimited Friends or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't like he had a Pornhub thing and you were about to find out everything in his queue.
That would have been great.
That would have been way more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you would have been disappointed with a lot of it.
Probably.
Hey, yesterday Fox renewed The Simpsons for 2 more seasons. That'll be the show's 33rd and 34th season. Can you believe that?
That's been on a really long time.
Yeah, by the end of that 34th season in 2023, The Simpsons will have aired roughly 750 episodes, which is just insane, you guys. And there's no indication that these are the last two, so who knows? Fox previously announced 2-year pickups for Family Guy and Bob's Burgers, which mean all 3 of those will remain on through the 2022 to 2023 season, at least. Of course, The Simpsons is already the longest-running scripted show in history. So this is just padding its lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because remember how we keep having those stories about how what they did 10 years ago is coming true now? So it'll be interesting to see what they're doing now on the show.
Get a glimpse 10 years into our future.
Yeah, yes. Like, oh, really? Wow.
Hmm. Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Sarah Silverman is admittedly kind of a hairy girl.
Oh, I got audio hurt.
And she's always been a champion of women who have a lot of hair. In a recent edition of her podcast, a woman called in to say that a young relative of hers has a unibrow. And she was wondering if they should do something about it because the girl is about to start school. I'm not sure what you've got.
Yeah.
Because Sarah said, what's most important is do not put your hang-ups on this kid. This is your bag of stuff. These are your fears, not hers. She might be fine with her eyebrows.
I get it. You love her and you want to prevent any pain she might endure. But I think what's most important is do not put your hang-ups on this kid. These are your fears, not hers. She might be fine with her eyebrows. She might like the way she looks. She might love the person she is. And that's the best case scenario. Don't plant in her head that this is something to be ashamed of. When I did the Sarah Silverman program, I had shaved my arms up until then a bunch. And I grew it out full for the Sarah Silverman program because I was really excited at the thought of young girls seeing me with hairy arms. And look at me, starring on my own show. And I also liked when I would meet young girls with hairy arms, I would put my hairy arms up and be like, soul sister.
I love that advice. I thought that was great.
Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty wild. We men sometimes forget like how hairy you women can be.
Yeah, we can grow it.
Not since I've been cleaning Airbnbs.
Do you remember the lady who was a big fan of the show in when we worked at the old place?
Yes. Very attractive woman.
Stunning, drop dead gorgeous, yeah, really like was. Could be a model. I mean, just mind-blowing how beautiful she was. She had the hairiest arms I've ever seen in my entire life. And every now and then she would wax it. And then other times she would let it like just go crazy. And I mean, look at my check out my arms.
Yeah.
Hairier than these.
Really?
Yeah.
That's gotta be hard to maintain though. How was she waxing that all the time?
Or shaving it, or who knows what she was doing. And then we had another coworker who I think she a Greek maybe. She had
Desiree.
Yes, at chest hair.
Oh, I didn't know
Remember?
That.
Oh, yeah. Dark
really?
Brown. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yep. I think I think she would say, I'm Greek. I think that's what she would.
Was it like a lot?
It was a patch.
You could see it?
It was a patch in her cleavage.
That's got to be hard, though. Like, when your kid has a unibrow, what do you say, hey, do you want to take care of that?
See, and that's Sarah Silverman's point. It's like, you know, don't put your stuff on the kid. The kid might love it.
Hmm.
Who's the young? There's a young, beautiful actress that has very, very furry eyebrows, and she loves them, and she leaves them. She doesn't mess with them. Cara Delevingne.
Delevingne.
Yeah.
Is it Carla?
No.
Or Cara.
I don't know.
It might be Cara.
Not sure, but yeah, she talks about it.
You know who else is making headlines this morning is Chris Harrison from The Bachelor. He's going to be on Good Morning America this morning talking about, you know, the controversy that ultimately took him off the show, speaking publicly for the first time since stepping aside as Bachelor host.
A lot of people, and I'm wondering, why would you defend Rachel Kirkconnell?
It was a mistake. I made a mistake. I am an imperfect man. I made a mistake, and I own that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he'll get into that. More on Good Morning America later, and we'll have a recap for you tomorrow on that. Trying to think of what else. I feel like there were a couple of other things. Oh, I did find this kind of interesting. They did a study where they analyzed posts and reactions from more than a dozen sports to determine like which sport had the angriest fans on Twitter. And what would you guess it would be? Like, what would you think it was? You know?
Football.
Right, football.
Or hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember reading all of that. Like, there was so much hate speech going around when that female athlete kicked the... Remember she joined the college football game? It was like the first female kicker ever. And there was just so much mean stuff said about her.
Right.
Just... this past year.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not football. It's not hockey. When you look at the posts and reactions from more than a dozen sports to determine which ones have the angriest fans on Twitter, surprisingly, it's actually one of the calmest sports, golf. 42% of all tweets about golf
repressed
were classified as angry comments.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
And the next one wasn't even football or hockey. It was soccer, although they're very passionate.
Soccer, yeah.
Yeah. And then Major League Baseball was number three. Now you're getting into the NFL, which was number four, followed by boxing, then the NHL, Formula One, and competitive darts, I kid you not, are all tied at 13%.
Competitive darts.
Yeah. Of all the sports, I think I'd least like to encounter an angry dart thrower, you know?
No kidding. Is that because most people play and practice in bars?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a big thing, though. They used to have those tournaments out in Las Vegas. I don't know if you guys remember that, but then they would film them and show them on, like, ESPN.
There's a lot of dart leagues around here.
Yeah.
I mean, people play darts.
And then cycling came in at number nine. Cycling.
Joe just gets irate. One of our coworkers, he is a biker. Or
avid
a person
cyclist.
Who bikes. And he just is a firecracker. I'm being sarcastic. He is so calm.
I could see him getting feisty, though. If you've ever, that's the thing. You have to engage him about some of the cycling and ask him about it. And he will tell you. He will get a little feisty on certain things.
He gets into it, man. So he lives kind of like, generally speaking, kind of sort of near the East End. And we were down there yesterday just looking to see how the floodwaters were affecting certain neighborhoods down there, including the Garden District. And we were surprised at just how many cyclists we saw yesterday.
Oh, it was the
especially
perfect day.
Especially in the East End.
The
yeah.
weather.
So that came in at number nine, followed by the NBA and rugby, tennis, and cricket. Rounding out the top 13. Angry tweets from fans. Golf, number one.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show Podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.